morning. So good to see you this morning to worship together. I want to thank Kyle and Jessica for leading us. So many good gifts. Yes. I always say I may have one gift, they have many, and such a sweet gift they are to our church, and so thankful for them leading us this morning. If you're a guest with us, my name's Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at City Church, and as you picked up on from that little video, we are in a series called Follow Me, walking through this series, rooted in that text that you see right below there, small font, but John 10:27, that says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We have a good shepherd. And our good shepherd is worthy of following wherever he may lead us. And we have been on a journey, especially to catch a few of you guests up in this series, we have been on a journey looking at what it means to follow Jesus with the intent of trying to pursue and understand our calling as a church family to continue the ministry which he's given us, this discipleship, to be able to make disciples as people gather in this place. And our church is growing rather rapidly, and we quickly are running out of room. And so how do we do that well? How do we show hospitality to all of you who would join us? If you're a guest with us, thank you for your endurance in getting here. And our desire is that we would be able to even more, in a more beautiful way, welcome everyone that comes on our property and care well. And so that looks like following Jesus. And if you were with us in the very beginning, you might remember this picture that I painted from the story, or the movie, excuse me, Indiana Jones, where Indiana, he comes to a great chasm. As he faces this chasm, he has to figure out a way across because there's something, I can't remember, I should have gone back and rewatched it, but there's some sort of death coming his way. And as that death is chasing him down, he has to take a step, and he takes a step over this chasm, and he finds that there is a bridge there. It was the faith bridge. He took a step. And so often, isn't that what it feels like to follow Jesus? That we take steps of faith. So often they can feel hard. As I think about just a couple weeks ago, we looked at what it means to follow Jesus in generosity. And as we think about our resources, money, and all of those types of things, touching and how we follow Jesus with those things, it can be hard. It can be real challenging to feel the weight of that. How do we do this? So often as well, following Jesus means that we don't know exactly where we are going. I think about how often the disciples asked Jesus, "Where are we going? How are we going to get there?" And his direction to them was simply, "Just follow me and let me worry about that." So often we don't know exactly how we are going to get where we are going. Our responsibility, the calling on our lives, is simply to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And today, fixed on his word and his people, and follow him. In so many ways, this particular week has been an unplanned week. If you receive that Follow Me guide, you'll know, hey, I feel like we might be a little bit off track here, because this week wasn't originally planned to be a part of this season. But I am trusting the Lord and his leadership today, simply striving, our team is simply striving to follow Jesus, whatever that means, and trust in his goodness. We have a good shepherd who's worthy of following with every area of our lives. As we think about following Jesus, we also have to come face to face with what gets in the way of that. And we talked about some obstacles a few weeks ago, but the root of those obstacles is sin. Sin is a real issue, and part of following Jesus is dealing with our own sinfulness. If we are wise, and Jesus is gracious, which he is, we will follow him in repentance. So this morning, we're going to look at how we follow Jesus into repentance, looking closely at the message from John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and following. If you're able, would you stand out of reverence for God's word as I read? This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for this promise that we can remember, a truth that we can hold on to, that you are the propitiation. You are the payment accepted by the Father to atone for our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as your word describes. We humble ourselves and give thanks for your grace, that we who are people who, as your word says, walked once in darkness, you intervened, but God, you met us, and you led us to repentance so that we might find your grace. I pray this morning, amongst all that occurs here, that if there is anyone who needs to find that grace, needs to step forward in repentance and confess to you, that they would do that. Holy Spirit, would you move as only you can? We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. As John is writing this letter to the church, he begins the first four verses that I didn't read for us describing the power of Christ and who Christ is and the message that he came to deliver. And so where we pick up in verse 5, when he says, this is the message, he's saying, this is the message that we have heard from the beginning. We've always heard. This is always what Jesus said, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. As we think about following Jesus in repentance, the first thing that we have to acknowledge is that God is light, he is holy, and there is no darkness in him at all. One of the challenges of the world that we live in, there's sort of two sort of dichotomies that I tend to find. One is a denial of all sin, that there is no such thing as sin. And because there is no such thing as sin, there's no need for any sort of atonement. There's no need for Christ to do any work. And so that sin is so often put down. The other side of the coin is that there is such a thing as sin, and everyone who sins just needs to be taken out back and shot. Neither of those things are the truth. Those aren't real. Where we go is we recognize that God is light. He is perfectly holy. He is different than us. He is set apart in his holiness. And in him, there is no darkness at all. And when we recognize that, as John's going to lead us into, we will start to have a heart of worship when we begin to realize, wait, God is light. God is perfectly holy. There is no unholiness in him at all. And we are allowed in his presence. We have fellowship with him. This is where we begin to, our minds, I hope, be blown a little bit with the reality that this is how big God is and his love for us. Yes, God is light, and we need to recognize his otherness. We are created in his image, but he is very much not like us. Praise be to God. He is holy, perfectly holy and just and righteous. There is no darkness in him. And so, because of that, if we say in verse 6 that we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What he declares to us is that we cannot walk in darkness. We're not allowed to walk in darkness. It's not possible for us to have fellowship with God and continue to walk in darkness. No, we must deal with this darkness. So often again, what happens is we think God is a little bit not as holy as he really is, and we think we're going to enter his presence, as one person said, with just a fickleness. Do you think that you're going to enter into the presence of Almighty God I'm just going to lazily walk in there? No, we need to recognize his holiness, his otherness. And if we think we can enter his presence while we just remain in darkness, we don't really understand. Now you begin to think of that, and if we simply stop there, if God's word stopped there, we would say, man, we are a hopeless people. We are a people much, as Paul would say in other places, much to be pitied. But praise be to God. We have a solution for this. We cannot walk in darkness and act as if we are walking with the Lord. Well, what does John really mean by this? We have to put two verses together. As John is making his argument, we can tie verses 6 and 8 and verses 7 and 9. We can bracket those two verses. So let's look again at verses 6 and 8 to understand what he means by this inability to walk in darkness. We have some means, it seems, to enter God's presence. How is that possible? Well, the first, we need to understand the problem. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You see the word truth in both of those verses. And so it seems what John is making clear here is that walking in darkness is not that we would never have darkness, but walking in darkness is denying our own sinfulness. It's denying that we have a problem. It's denying that there is an issue. It's believing, not rightly, that we could just fickly enter the presence of Almighty, holy, righteous, just God without dealing with any of that problem. This is where so much of the world lives, denying our own sinfulness. If you're not a Christ follower here this morning, one of the things that you need to understand, I hope that you see this in us this morning, you hear it from me. We do not deny our sinfulness. When we proclaim Christ, we simply declare that there is a solution to our sinfulness, that there is hope for us in the midst of this. Walking in darkness, if we're going to continue, what it means is that we continue to deny our own sinfulness. This is why so many authors, both in Scripture and then extra-biblical authors that are sort of expound upon the truths of Scripture, declare that we must deal with sin. John Owen wrote a very powerful book. It's called The Mortification of Sin. It's a challenging read, I'm not going to lie to you. A little bit of Old English in there. And that word mortification, you hear, it's to be put to death. And he says this, be killing sin or it will be killing you. He tells us to be dealing rightly with our sin. Look at our sinfulness and put it to death. He is drawing on that from multiple places. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writing to the church in Corinth, which was a highly worldly church, a church that was really, really, whatever you think about our culture, Corinth was our culture back in the day. And so what he says is that in 1 Corinthians 5, he says, destroy the flesh. He literally says, put yourself to death so that your soul would be saved. Put it to death. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. That's a true statement. We have to understand our own sinfulness and do the hard work of putting that sinfulness to death, or we're going to suffer that same fate. Can I tell you that the author of that quote, a modern day pastor, evangelist, theologian, fell from ministry, removed from his ministry because he did not heed those wise words that he once said. Sin will take you way further than you ever think you want to go. Wherever you wake up in the midst of a sinful situation, a broken situation, the reality is we don't usually get there overnight. We have to do the hard work. What John commends to us there is to recognize our sinfulness and not believe that we can approach God and walk with God while remaining in sin. No, we must acknowledge our sinfulness. But he doesn't leave us without hope. Here is the beautiful news of the gospel that John knew well. He begins again, let's look at closely at verses 7 and 9. But if we walk in the light, as opposed to walking in darkness, as opposed to denying our sinfulness and not believing that we are sinful people, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, the body of Christ, and beautiful, powerful words, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin, cleanses us from all our sin. Every bit of our sin is covered by the blood of Christ. There's not one thing in your life, one area of sinfulness that God looks upon and says, yeah, I covered all of your sin, but this one little area, I'm going to hold that against you for all eternity. No, Jesus, what he continues in verse 9, is the propitiation for our sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Chapter 2, verse 2, because he is the propitiation for our sins. We can be cleansed. When we walk in the light through repentance, we find life. See, the beautiful news is that sin cannot live in the light. As we confess our sinfulness, acknowledge our sinfulness, bring our sin into the light, our sin can no longer live. Whatever that sin issue that perhaps we might be tempted to deny, we might be tempted to try and hide, that we might be holding on to quietly, thinking no one will ever know about this, it really won't harm me. Jesus says, God's word says to us, bring it into the light. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's possible because Jesus was the right, acceptable, and complete sacrifice for sins. We can't atone any longer. You've heard me say this so often. Sometimes as Christians, we walk around with shame and with guilt because we're trying to atone for our own sins when we need to fall on our face before Jesus and simply accept and receive his grace. His mercy, as we sang, is more. This is why Paul would write to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If you don't acknowledge your sinfulness, if you try to live according to your flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Do you understand what he's saying there? If we try to live in our sinfulness, we deny our sinfulness, keep walking in darkness, we will die. But if the Spirit of God allows us to find repentance and put to death that sinfulness, we will live, and we can cry out to God as Father. When Paul is writing these words, he's not saying that we can cry out to Abba Father and say, Abba Father, I need a new car. Abba Father, if you could just solve this situation. Abba Father, I'd like you to fix this. I really want this. No, he's saying we get to call out to God as his sons because we've been cleansed of our unrighteousness, because our sin has been put to death and dealt with through Jesus. This is why we can call out to God as Father. Again, what a sweet gift that is. We walk in the light through repentance if we confess our sinfulness. He is faithful. He will not leave you there. He will not leave you alone. Why? Because as Pastor John says, my little children, and I hope you hear that from a pastor's heart, my little children, my brothers and sisters whom I love, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but the sins of the world. Our good shepherd is our advocate, he says. This is why he could write again to the Romans a few verses before that, verse 13. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's not because sin doesn't have to be dealt with. It's because that condemnation was put on Jesus himself when he shed his own blood. The propitiation, the payment for sins. We have a good shepherd. Following Jesus leads us to repentance, where our sins can be atoned for and where we can turn from walking in darkness to walking in the light. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who shed his blood so that you would also be declared the righteousness of God. How could we not worship him? And if you're unsure, friends, of who Jesus is and his love, hear from God's word first, and secondly from me, there is an advocate for your soul who laid down his life because of his unending love for you, that you would be transferred from darkness into light through the power of his death, burial, and resurrection. You too have an advocate. The only thing that you must do is acknowledge your sinfulness, confess it to him, and allow him to raise you to life. That's the power of the gospel. So part of what we do as we live this out as the body of Christ, we talk so often in this church as that we are a family. This is Christ's family called the church. and known more publicly here locally as City Church. What we do is we spur one another on in the faith. We help one another remember these truths. We lead and walk with one another as we lead each other into repentance and to be able to walk with Jesus. And as we repent of our sinfulness, we step into the light where we can maintain fellowship, as he says, with one another. This is why we have scriptures like Matthew 18, why there are scriptures like 1 Corinthians chapter 5. They give us instructions on how it is that we deal with sinfulness, both, yes, personally, but then also as part of the body of Christ, because the witness of Christ is at stake when we come together as a church. And the goal of dealing with sin is always restoration. Again, look at this text. The goal is that we would be restored and we would walk in the light, not condemnation. There is no condemnation, but we are transferred into the kingdom of God, into his light. It's not to condemn those verses, but they are to help us kill sin so that, again, we can live together and find restoration. Here's my invitation. Let God speak to you in this moment. Maybe you need to stand and sing and join with us. Or maybe you just need to sit silently and allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to your heart. And I do pray that each and every one of us would know the grace and the mercy of Christ. Sin only lives in darkness. Whatever it might be, if you bring it to the light, friends, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. You have an advocate in Christ Jesus. So run to him in this moment.
Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word from City Church Melissa. We meet Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m., and we look forward to meeting you there soon. City Church Melissa, for the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world. All you say.